Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is Pastor Anderson with today's message.
The 100 number of Psalm, and we talked about how the psalmist invited us into a praise session, that we were to enter the gates with thanksgiving, and that we were to come into the courts with praise, and that we were to be thankful to Him. And I want this church to be a church that's free to praise God the way you choose to praise God, because we realize that God is worthy of the praise. So in Psalms 34, we want to use for a subject an invitation to praise. An invitation to praise. And as we look at this Psalms, we want to remind you that our sermons will be on podcast. And thank God that we're developing the podcast to where you can click on a button. You can print out the outline, the summary of the sermon, and reflective questions. So we want to go deep in our messages as a church. So in Psalms 34, just for our time together, verses 1 through 3, David says this: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make his boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. And watch how David gets excited. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. An invitation to praise. One of the things that I love about David is that David is just real. And I don't know about you, I love being around real people. I don't like being around fake, phony people. That I love being around real people. So much so that I love it to the point where I don't always want to guess what you're thinking. Because if I know what you're thinking, I know how to deal with you. But I just love being around real people. And when you look at the life of David, David is just a real individual. And when you look at his life will let you know that he didn't have it all together, that he was the eighth son of Jesse. He was the forgotten one on the backside of his father's sheep pen attending sheep. And that when prophet Samuel showed up to anoint one of the brothers, he was the forgotten one. Have you ever felt like that in your family? That you are the forgotten one, or that you are the baby boy? That everybody in the family looks at you, and mom and dad feels like the baby is the special one? That's David. He's on the backside of the pasture. But then, as you look at the life of David, and if you know his history, David became king. And even when he became king, he didn't have it all together. That he blew it. That he committed adultery. That he had the husband killed. That he counted the people. That he did things that was not pleasing to God. But what I love about David, the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And that's helpful for us today. And I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged to know that even when I blow it, when I make a mistake, when I mess up, I still have a relationship with my holy God, because my holy God sent his righteous son to the cross to die for me. And even when I mess up, I don't hang my head down. I lift my head up, because when I look up, I see my king on the cross. I see the king who's on the cross, who was taken down from the cross, put in a borrowed tomb, because he didn't plan on staying there all day. He went in the tomb, and God raised him up. And that gives me hope to know that even when I mess up and I make mistakes, there's still hope, because hope is found in the Savior. So David is just real. He has real issues, real sin, a real life story. But then he has a real praise for God. And when you look at your life and you understand that you have some mess ups, some slip up, or you have dealt in sin, you still have a reason to praise God, because God is real and your praise need to be real. So as we look at this particular Psalms, there is so much going on in the backdrop of this psalm, because David is on the run. I mean, David is a bad boy now, but he's on the run. This brother is running from his life, because it started by David killing Goliath. And Saul, the king at that time, got jealous, because as he came back, the women were saying, Saul killed his 1,000, but David, his 10,000. And jealousy will happen when you do something great for God. And you have to realize that. So don't get upset when people become jealous. Praise God. Maybe you're doing something right. Maybe you're following God. So when my haters start hating on me, I don't worry about my haters. I stay focused on God. So God knows how to set a table before you in the presence of your enemy. So here's David. David kills, as they're singing, his 10,000. All of a sudden, Saul gets jealous. And the spirit of the Lord leaves Saul, and now the spirit of the Lord is on David. And Saul tries to kill him 2 times by throwing a spear. So David's on the run now. David marries Saul's daughter. David becomes good friends with Jonathan, King Saul's son, and the king does not like it. So David's on the run. He's on the run. Keep up with me. He's running for his life, and he leaves his own country, and he runs into the country of the Philistines. And when he gets there, the Philistines say, wait a minute, aren't you David? Aren't you the one who killed Goliath with the sword? And now David is trying to hide, but he's found out. And look what David did. I'm telling y'all, David's a bad boy. So David goes to the wall, and he pretends to be a madman. And he dribbles all down his shirt, all down his pants. And he's just scribbling on the wall. And the king says, oh, no, we need to release him. See, there are times that even when we are deceitful, God still knows how to get us a release. I'm not saying you need to lie, but what I'm saying is there are times that when you are on the run and you need God to do things for you, that you have to understand your trust is placed in him, not in people. So David's on the run, and David eventually runs into a cave. That's the setting of this psalm. Can you see David in a cave, and he's looking back on all that he's been through, and he writes this psalm? So here's the points. Watch this. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. David has a praise, and David's praise is personal. Did you get me this morning? That your praise is personal. That I can't praise God for you, and you can't praise God for me. And that's why when I'm there and my mouth is big and loud and I'm off key, my wife got on me last night, baby, you need to quiet down in church. You messing up the worship. I said, I come to worship. In the streets, we say, get in where you fit in. And I'm trying to get in. I know my mouth is boisterous. I know I'm off tune and off key, but it doesn't matter to me, because what I've thought about is the hard week I've had. I thought about the ups and downs. I thought about being in the doctor's appointments every day this week with my dad. I thought about Friday going from doctor appointment to doctor appointments. I thought about picking up the phone and he forgot his medicine. I thought about going to my mom's house and she's so sick that she can't get out of the bed, that her feet are swollen, her hands are swollen, the right side of her body are swollen, her right foot is black. And when I come to church and I realize that God still has us alive, I can't help but to praise him. It's personal. This morning, before y'all got here, I met with the praise team. I said, listen, your job is to set up a buffet table. That's the praise team's job. Set the table up. And everybody don't eat at the same time. It came to me while I was talking to them. I said, some people eat all day. Some people just gorge themselves. I'm one of them. Some people eat once a day. I don't care how often you eat, just eat. And their job as the praise team is to set the table. And whenever you want to eat, you eat, because it's personal. David says, I will. He makes a vow. He makes a promise to himself that I will bless the Lord. It's a decision of the will. So when you come in here and you've had one heck of a day, you still can make the decision to praise the name of your God. That today may be bad, but tomorrow may be better. Don't get caught up on today. Get caught up on your God. So your praise is personal. Make it personal. Do you not know that praise is a weapon? And whenever you have a down day, I love the scripture. You need to take the garment of praise and put it on. And when you put on the garment of praise, it has a way of refocusing what you're looking at. Come here, Selvin. Come here real quick. Thank you. Come here. Come here. Let me use your son. Come here, buddy. Come here real quick. Real quick. Real quick. Come on. That's quick for him. Right here. Be right here. There you go. Y'all give him a hand. That's quick for him. So here I am. Selvin's wife is praising. And her praise is focused on God. And this is God. And every time she comes, she's locked in on God. But here's her problem. She's locked in on God. And because she's locked in on God, her problems become small. But the problem is, we come to church and we switch it. We come looking at God and making our problem big. God is trying to tell you that when you have a personal praise, you switch this thing. That you come in locked on Him and you focus on Him, and then your problem becomes small. It may be big now, but make it small by making a personal praise to God. But come here, Selvin, I'm not done. Come here, sweetie. Come here. He ran off. So here's God. We talked about the praise. Get right here, baby. It's so personal that Jocelyn's now praising God. And she's focused on God, and here's the devil. But she has the garment of praise on. And she's watching God and not focusing on the enemy. But here's the problem. We reverse it again. That we come to church and we make God small and we make the devil big. Your devil, the devil, is not bigger than God. And every time you come to church, you realize that it's personal. Thank you. He's getting exercise. And it's personal, and your praise is to God, and you're not worried about the enemy, because if you praise God, God knows how to deliver you. Thank you. Thank you. He knows how to deliver you. It's personal. Put on the garment of praise and stop making your problems and your enemy bigger than your God. Here's the second thing we see. It's persistent. It's personal, and don't even worry about that. I got the points, you can find them. It's personal, but then it's persistent. How do I know? He says, I will bless the Lord at all times, when I'm up, when I'm down. When my marriage is on the rocks and when it's healthy. When I broke, I have two pennies to rub together, or I'm a millionaire. At all times, when my mother is called to glory, when my dad is sick, when they take my car from me, when I may lose my house, or when I get a bigger house, at all times. We need to learn how to praise God at all times. And the best time to praise God is when you're in the midst of a tough situation, when you're in the midst of your problems, when you're in the midst of pain. I love this. I went to see my mom when she was in a skilled nursing facility. And my mom was sick. She had been in the hospital for 6 weeks. She was in a nursing facility for 3. And I walked in after church and she said, baby, I'm ready for church. I said, Mom, we already had church. She said, but no, I want you to bring church to me. And I went to my mom's bed and we had church. And my mom from the old school, she said, don't sing them praise and worship songs. Don't give me that. Give me some old Baptist hymns. And we sat there and sung hymns because it was the hymns that ministered to my mother. Every now and then, you just have to learn how to be persistent. Instead of taking a coffee break, take a praise break. That when you go to the break room and you grabbing your coffee, learn how to praise. And watch everybody in your job and in the atmosphere, they will learn how to praise God because they're watching you. So it's personal. It's persistent. And watch this. Not only is it personal and persistent, but it's perpetual. It's gone, ongoing. He says, the praise shall continually be in my mouth. That it doesn't stop. That it's repetitive. It's the same way. It's without interruption. It's frequent. Every time you praise, God notice your praise. Now, can I say this? I know in the church we say when praises go up, blessings come down. That's not in the Bible. That's good church lingo. But what happens is, and this is biblical, when your praise go up, God's glory come down. And see, when I praise God, I need His glory. Because if His glory just sits on my situation, His glory will change the whole situation. And notice, He says His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's all right to open up your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. It's all right to open up your mouth and say, I praise you, Lord. And you have to get to the point that you are not ashamed of vocally praising God, because if David was on the run and he opened up his mouth inside of a cave, what about you? So I'm in San Antonio a couple of weeks ago. 8th floor, working, nice hotel. I'm big balling, shot calling. I'm walking out. My room is overlooking the Riverwalk. I pull the curtains back. I said, man, look at the Riverwalk. Whoo, I got this big old flat screen. I got this king-size bed. My wife is not here talking to me. I can just rest. Amen, husbands. Amen, husbands. I can just rest. I don't have to fight over the remote control. Amen, husbands. I can watch ESPN all day. Amen, husbands. And I'm just sitting there. David wasn't in the Hyatt. He was in the cave. And even though he was in the cave, he had a perpetual praise. When you are in tough spots, can I ask you a question? How will you praise your God in the midst of a tough spot? So we talked about his praise. But watch this. There's a focus to his praise. There's a focus, and we're almost done. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul, the soul is the inner part of you. Deep down in your soul, I call it, the old folks call it, in your belly. Deep down in your belly should be a praise. He says, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and rejoice. Watch this. The soul, the deepest part of you, that's where your praise comes from. That when you are in those tough situations and you're just riding in the car and all of a sudden a praise song comes up, that comes out of your soul. But it can't come out if you never make a deposit. That if you never put nothing in your soul and your spirit, nothing ever comes out. Can I say it this way? In preaching class, they taught us this. The Holy Spirit is a real preacher. He stands up and preaches in the individual. But he can't pull out what you never put in. And if you just wake up and you try to preach, the Holy Spirit has nothing to pull out. So every week I got to put in that he may pull out. How often are you putting in praise and worship music that the Holy Spirit may be able to pull it out? And he wants to pull it out deep down in your soul. So David uses contrast. He says, my soul will make its boast in the Lord, the humble. Soul and humble, soul and boasting, that doesn't go together. But realize what he's saying. I'm not boasting in me, I'm boasting in the Lord. See, boasting, when it's done wrong, is full of pride and ego. But when it's done right, you boast in the Lord. And then he says the humble. He's not talking about having a spirit of humility. He's talking about the poor at heart, the desperate, the needy. That when you praise and it comes from your soul, the needy will see it. The poor will see it. The desperate will see it. And they are joining you because they see you choose to praise God. Okay, you may not be getting it. Let me give it to you this way. I'm in San Salvador. We're going to all these different churches. We go to this one church, and it's on the trash heaps. And I got to be honest, I said, wow, this is where the church is at? We get out of our van. We walk down, and there's dogs everywhere. It's trash everywhere. We make a left. We walk a few feet, and there's the church. Trash bags was the roof for the church. They had just some sticks, no instruments, no praise leader, but they had church. There's a difference in church and church. That it didn't matter about the building. That's what we make the church. The church was the people. And they came to praise God, and I sit there and I watch the pastor's wife. She is praising that just like they was in a magnificent building, but they were on the trash heaps with trash bags covering the roof, and she's crying and thanking God for a building, thanking God for little finances. You have to understand that comes from your soul, from your belly. Refuse to come in here sad with your lips stuck out. So he says that's the focus. The focus of your praise should be on God. On God, not on people. Keep your focus on God. So he says, my soul will make his boast in the Lord. And here we are, we're closing. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Us. You know what that means? That's a fellowship of praise. That when we come together, we come to fellowship. And because Miss Erica is praising, it's magnetic. That I'm watching her praise, and all of a sudden, something that was just on her attracts me to the praise. And then I make it personal because I understand I have a personal God. It's magnetic. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Can I just deal with that word magnify? Magnify means to make it bigger, to make it larger. Now, you can't make God bigger than what he is. But when you magnify him, your vision changes. And in your eyes, you can see God for who he is. Can I tell you who he is as I close? He's your healer. He's your deliverer. He's your protector. He's your provider. Y'all gonna get with me real quick. He is everything you need. He is your way maker. He is your heavy load sharer. He's your burden bearer. He is everything you need. He is your hope for today. He's your hope for tomorrow. He is everything you need. He can be what people can't be to you because he is everything you need. So will you receive the invitation to praise? Will you wake up every day, not just praying, but praying? Because your prayer with your praise is an indication of what you believe about your God. Can I say that again? Your prayer and your praise is an indication about what you believe about your God. So as I close, I want to encourage you, let nothing stop you from praising God. That every moment that God is giving you life, and he's giving you breath, and he's giving you a family, and he's giving you finances, and you have a job, you praise him. Because I'm reminded every time I go through downtown and I see the homeless, that could and should have been me. That every time I'm in Honduras and Guatemala and Mexico and all through Latin America, and I'll be in Cuba next month, I realize that could have been me. And every time I'm looking at an MS-13 gang member and I'm watching them all tatted up, and yet we're leading them to Jesus Christ, I could have been out there in the gangs. I remember times I snuck my parents' car out. I should have died. I should have got in trouble. But I have a holy God who saw one day I would lead a church, I would be a pastor, I would travel around the world, and he chose me despite my flaws. He chose you this morning. And the question to you is, will you choose him through praise?
Thank you for listening. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at The Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas. Visit us online at www.globaloutreachcc.org. Remember, your life matters because it matters to Christ.